I invite you to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. And let's see if this will... I want to just throw this up here. I think Brother Mark's sister Cheryl found this, and it's a good illustration of the kings of the divided kingdom. Okay, and so Judah, you know, the line of the tribe of Judah, and remember how that reference is that the Lord makes regarding Israel about that there's references to them being like cattle. And Jeroboam set up those bulls and to worship in Dan and Bethel, you know. So that's kind of interesting that whoever made this used that illustration to represent Israel. But Brother Jeremiah, he's a prophet of the Lord. And it tells us here, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Okay, so Benjamin's just north of Jerusalem, tucked in there. Benjamin is the tribe of Saul, King Saul, remember that. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon. So you see Ammon right here. I didn't bring a pointer. We need a pointer. So you see Ammon. So Ammon, Josiah, and then Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Zedekiah, I think was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar or some of his administration. In the 13th year of his reign, so it's nearing the end of Ammon's Josiah's reign. And so... And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, so the last ruler. It's getting to where you almost can't call him a king, right? They're just, what is it they call them? Puppets amongst nations. That's what was going on there. They can be the king if they do what the authority of Babylon says. The son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So this is the time and beyond of Brother Jeremiah's prophecy. And chapters 27 through 29, 34 and 39 tell about the experience once Judah began to be taken captive. And so we want to get that in our hearts and minds to understand about the time frame that Brother Jeremiah is in. It's like the worst of the worst. The Lord is sick and in the vernacular of the region, ill, beyond ill with his nation. He's taken him off captive. And we know that captivity, by the word of God, is going to be for 70 years. And then he's going to be merciful. He's always merciful to a remnant. The Lord is. It's his way. Brother Joe preached about the attributes of the Lord, and that's a blessed, wonderful thing that we can see about the Lord. He never, all of his attributes are in, they are never contradictory and always complete. And because of that, we're not consumed. And beyond that, beyond not being consumed, we're blessed to be made joint heirs with our Savior. What a wondrous, wondrous thing. And so this is the time frame of Brother Jeremiah. Our study on Wednesday evenings have been in regarding the doctrines of grace, and the last two messages have been about the irresistibility of God. He cannot be resisted. He will work. He brings sinners to himself, and he brings kings and nations unto judgment. He has the keys of life and of death. He does what he wants everywhere. That's God. You know, and it's good to understand God as he is, because where we may not understand the Lord, he teaches us about himself. And then when we do learn about our Lord, we can, with a right heart and right understanding, we can rest in him. He says what he means and means what he says. And having known that and knowing that, and you that are here and not saved, we want you to know that, what the Lord has said. And we want you to believe that. Our desire for you is to believe and receive that, ultimately receiving Christ as your Savior. But in the regards to this irresistibility of God, I think it's time for us to take a look at this picture that we're given in the Scripture. And it starts out, the picture starts out in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 18, the picture of the potter and the clay. The picture of the potter and the clay. And the Lord speaks to us that way so many times. We've seen that with the minor prophets, haven't we? And he does that all through Jesus. He taught in parables, right? And you see the picture of the different ones that he's telling about to explain spiritual, eternal things regarding the kingdom and the operation of God. And so this picture has to do, this has to do in this terrible, terrible time of the nation, the divided kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah going into captivity, a prophet, yet another prophet sent, straddling this time. Remember, Isaiah's before and Brother Daniel's after. Ezekiel is after. Brother Jeremiah, he's just straddled right over the end of Judah and the captivity. And of course, they abuse him. They hate him. They don't want anything to do with him. What a ministry. You know, what a ministry that he's telling them the truth for their betterment. He's been sent by the Lord to tell them the truth for their betterment. And the only one it seems that is for him is the Lord. Well, that's enough. That's enough. Lord help us if it ever gets that lonely. But he gives this word unto his nation, to this divided kingdom of Judah. And he causes the prophet, he tells the prophet to go down to the potter's house and learn some things, even though it is so sorry as it is. This picture of the potter and the clay speaks to every point of the doctrines of grace as we know them and we define them and list them out to have understanding about the different aspects of it. It touches, and we see in this picture of the potter and the clay, that about depravity. It's reflected there. It's shown there. It's shown in the choosing of God, or the choosing of God is shown in it. The particular redemption of the Lord is shown in this picture of the potter and the clay. We see about the irresistibility of God, and that's the good time to bring it out. And then we also see about the perseverance, or that predestination aspect of the doctrines of grace. We see that there too. And so we want to take a look at that tonight. We'll probably just deal with Jeremiah tonight. This is found, this picture is found both in the Old Testament and in the New. And so we want to, with the Lord's help, begin to take a look at that this evening. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. You know, clay, what is clay good for? Do you want to plant crops in clay? Brother Bobby will say, no. But sometimes you have to. And then He may get to sell you a lot of stuff to try to turn that clay into something. Do you want to build a house on clay? Nope. Do you want to have to dig around in a project? You know, maybe clay in some respects is good to for a dam or to put in a lake or a pond. But you got to do that right, because you can really make a mess of it too. It's got to be dealt. I've heard about folks dealing in clay and putting up, somebody didn't know what they were doing. They put up a dam on their property to be able to make a pond. And then that thing, when it got wet, it just went, slid right out. And they had an open-end ditch then. Clay, what's it good for? You know, gravel, rock, you can crush and you can make roads with it, foundations with it and that. But clay, it's got to be worked for anything to be done with it well. And that's the way it is with people. We've got to be touched and worked on by the Lord to be made into something. Remember how it is about that total depravity, that fall in our father Adam, and that we willfully would engage and do engage in ourselves. We've got it naturally. We desire it naturally when we hit the air. The only way that any good thing can be made out of a man is by the Lord. And so he goes down there and he sees this potter. And you know, I meant to get an illustration to show, you know, the potter has a wheel and usually a treadle to make that wheel spin. Some people today would have an electric motor on it and that, and it spins. He saw this clay. And you know what clay was it that the potter took? He took the clay that he wanted. He took the clay from his store of clay. And you know what? Maybe with a potter, he would choose what he wanted to do. He might have different store of clay that he would take and put together to make a combination. He is in total control of what clay he would take to use. Just like we've seen with the choosing of the Lord. The choosing of the Lord is without any merit of our own, of course, and the potter would take the clay and choose the clay that he would use. And so he's working this work on the wheels, and you know what he's making? He's making what he wants to make today. What he wants to make. It might be an order from somebody. And again, pictures, parables in the scriptures are not, don't touch everything about the true, but the potter is making what he wants to make today. And he's making it the way he wants to make it, whether he's making it wide and short or tall and skinny. He's turning it on that wheel. He has taken that clay and he's worked it, folded it over, and maybe added this component, added that component. Jeremiah saw those things and the work being done on the wheel, the forming of that. He's making a vessel, the potter is. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And as it would be with potters in the world, they push it to the limit. Maybe get that side wall too thin or that rim too thin. You know, our Lord, he never makes an error, does he? He does what he wants to do. And this vessel that the potter was making there at that time when Jeremiah is there, it was marred in the hand of the potter. And you know what he did? He took it, as we that have seen about potters and stuff, he took it and made it again. And he may have made it into a different shape. The potter would learn about the clay that he has and the workability of the clay, and he might find that it would be more suitable for this type of vessel or that type of vessel, but our Lord knows all. And so it was marred, it was messed up by this potter that Jeremiah was told to watch. And he just collapsed it all down and started making it into something else. And you know what he was making it into? What he wanted to make it into. It's I was able to remember some things about my own studies and my own education, the beginning of my education in working. What I went to school for, what I went to college for, was ceramic engineering technology. And so everything that's not metal, not wood, and not plastic is what that field covered. And so it had to do with clay, had to do with sand, had to do with different other kinds of minerals that are mined out of the earth. And so it goes on here. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You know, as we think about this, potter could make a utility kind of vessel. He could make it just very plain, no glaze on it. Make it just whatever it came out of the kiln. Now, the color of that clay is what the color it would be. Or he might take it and fire it a little bit. He might bisque fire it and get it set, and then take it back out and make a composition of a glaze that would be ugly or utilitarian, cheap to accomplish. Or he might put in a bunch of effort and the materials to put a glaze on it and refire it to where it was beautiful. You know, in my work in that day, it was before plastics were coming on and building materials, or plastics were coming on, PVC was coming on. And to that point, for decades in the country, clay tile was used. And some of you that are older know about clay tile for sewer lines and clay tile for drain lines and how happy we were when PVC came along. But, you know, clay tile is pretty utilitarian. But, you know, another thing that was coming on then where clay tile was going out, ceramics in electronics. Then we think about that, so that's very noble, high alumina, a lot of science, a lot of high temperature. That's some real good dirt that you're making electronics out of. But yet, you know, what we called China, sanitary well, where laboratories and toilets, everybody wants to have a laboratory and a toilet. And so it's not thought of as much, very noble, but when you have one, you want a good one that you can clean up, right? You know, so all those different kind of things. And it's at the choice of the potter what gets made, what's considered, or what is made more noble or glorious or necessary or not. And so it says there, he did it after it's how it seemed good for him to do it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, verse 5, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Right here in this end of this terrible time promised by the Lord, this destruction, this misery, tens of thousands going to be taken, hundreds of thousands going to be taken into bondage in Babylon. Can I do with you like this potter does with that vessel? And the answer is yes. He sure can. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. So the picture. And you know, So many times we see the picture and have the understanding about the Lord working with the nation and how in the fullness and the wonder, the wonderful operation of God, that is a telling about what the Lord is going to do with individuals. It just hasn't been opened up as much yet in the Old Testament. Things are needing by the Lord amongst mankind to be established. You know, aren't you glad that we live now in this church age when we do? You know, just speaking as a man, if we'd have lived in the day that Israel was a nation as a Gentile, wonder where we would be. But we live in this day when the Lord dealt with the nation, brought the oracle of God into them, gave all these pictures that tell not only what he's going to do with the nation of Israel and how he's going to take and redeem his nation, but also how he works amongst men, women, boys, and girls in his church age. He says, "Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." And if it is so with the nation, indeed is it not so with individuals? What makes up the institution of a nation? People. At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation? And I thought this interesting for us in our day. You know, we know that the United States is not Israel. We know that. The United States is not Israel. But the principles and the things that the Lord gave Israel in a general sense are that which we have as a nation and centuries and decades gone by have heeded. We are a nation that says, "In God we trust," at least in God we trusted. At what instance shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced such turn from their evil. So if I have said that I'm going to destroy, I'm going to pull down, I'm going to pluck up, and that nation turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Isn't that something? You know, while there's life, there's hope. That's the reason we need to speak up regarding the things in our society and culture that we have that are going on, like this constitutional amendment. First, I understand it's sad that we have to have a constitutional amendment in the Commonwealth of Kentucky that says there will not be any abortion and there will not be any funding of abortion by the state. It's sad that we have to have that. But if there is an opportunity to do so under the circumstances, then we should. We should be found on the side of supporting that. Because again, brothers and sisters, silence hasn't worked. Silence has not worked. Never will. So the Lord says, "I've pronounced some plucking, some pulling down and destroying against you, Israel. But you know what? If you'll turn from that evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto you." Isn't that interesting? How the one that is the ultimate potter with the clay says this unto people, unto a nation. The brother brought it out last week. You know, the Lord, the intent of the Lord is, he's all powerful, but his intent and his way is to have a relationship from the beginning with his creation, that which was made in his image and his likeness. He looks to have a relationship with. Talking about gracious. We would never think that way if we were God. But God thinks that way. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And if what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, to give it success, to, where's the speaking? Well, there was a lot of speaking about nations to Israel, wasn't there? Right? The iniquity of the Amalekites has not fully come, or the Amorites. I get the Amalekites and the Amorites mixed up. But that, I mean, the Lord told that. He said, it's not time yet, but it's getting close. And when it does, I'm going to use you to wipe them out. Right? Well, he does that. But what's spoken in the throne room of God? Well, you know what? It's been spoken by his word. And we have it. In a nation that doesn't forget God, it won't be a reproach to them, right? The nation that forgets God, it'll be a reproach to them. The nation that doesn't forget God, it won't be a reproach to them. We have that. The Lord's spoken that. And so if I speak concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, and if it do evil in my sight, I think that's appropriate for our nation. This is what the potter says. That it obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. A nation that put the scriptures, portions of the scriptures, on different monuments and memorials that we have in our nation. You know, when President Clinton came in, there was a turn there at the renovation of those monuments. The scriptures were beginning to be eliminated. But that honoring of God, if we turn from that, the Lord is going to take and he is going to judge. Then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, Jeremiah, speak to the men of Judah. Here's your mission, son. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, he sent to the capital city, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. So here's how I'm speaking to the nation in your day. The potter that has the ultimate power over the clay, he sends a warning. I've got evil designs towards you and your wickedness. Hear the warning. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. Because he just said what he would do, didn't he? Repent. Repent. That's the message of the Lord to mankind. Repent and turn. Turn from your wickedness and turn unto me, says the potter that takes the clay and forms it into a vessel howsoever he will. Here's what the Lord says. And they said, there is no hope. So Jeremiah took this message unto them. And they're in a terrible, sorry shape. I mean, it's the place, thinking about the glory that the Lord had blessed with in Solomon's day, you can't even recognize this place now. Jerusalem? I mean, it is a long, far cry from what it was in that day when Israel was the nation in the earth. And they said, there is no hope. You know what that, I believe that that's code for? We don't want to turn. We don't believe you can raise us up and rescue us. We like our wickedness and our sin. Anything righteous, anything holy, anything divine, just don't want it. Isn't that the case in our day? That's it. Anything publicly that rises up that is virtuous is maligned and run down and spoken evil against and shouted down. But you know what? The Lord that can do the impossible, He can help and deliver any sinner out of the impossible, and He can help and deliver any nation out of the impossible. Because He's God. He's God. He is able to deliver thee, the song says, right? And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. And we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. We're just going to, okay, thanks for telling us. But we're just going to go ahead and do what we want to do. Listen, don't shut your ears. Don't shut our ears. May God help us that we not shut our ears as a nation to the word of the Lord. While there's life in the Lord, there's hope. Says the potter that takes the clay and forms it however he will. Isn't that interesting that this is tucked in here together? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, he said, consider this regarding my nation. Who hath heard such things, such waywardness as this? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. He says, look at their attitude and consider their way. Speaks of depravity, doesn't it? Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? That's some good, cold, crisp, clean water. That water's too cold. That water's too clean. I'll not drink it. Would a man do that? No. No. I understand they don't have running water like we do. Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? I mean, water is how they lived or and was able to occupy a region or area or not. You got to have water to grow things. Got to have water to drink. Got to have water for cattle. Does a man have any sense that he says, nope, that water's too good and too plentiful. I'm going to go another way. Does a man say that? That's what the Lord's saying. Do men take up an attitude that way? Because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity, to their images and all the different gods and such, false gods of the land. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths and in a way not cast up. Again, because my people have forgotten me, because they forgot me, the cool water, the living water, the flowing water, not stagnant water, but the water of life. They have, because of that, they've forgotten him. They've followed after idolatry. They've stumbled in their ways from the ancient paths that he has given to walk in paths and in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate. That's what's happened. The land has been burned up. You know, I go back. I can't help but think. I mean, you know, we think of how it is over in that land today. And if they don't irrigate, they don't grow anything. But that was the land that flowed with milk and honey. Why did it dry up? Because of their sin. Our land could very well be dried up because of our sin. The Lord promised that He used such things against the rebellious and against His own nation. He said to make their land a desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and shake his head at how crazy they are. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity." And so here we see this, what Brother Jeremiah was told by the Lord to go and learn about the potter, about the clay, how this speaks to us about the different aspects of the doctrines of grace. And then this word that is sent unto the nation and to individuals by the prophet to turn from their sin and repent and turn unto the Lord. The potter, he can take a vessel and he can make it just a utilitarian vessel, something just to hold umbrellas or hold garden implements or whatever. Or he can take a vessel and he can make it so fine and so refined and glaze it up well to where it can be the piece of great admiration in the household. The Lord is able to do that. We need to trust Him. We need to hear Him and believe Him, what He says, and not doubt Him. We need to know that He is God, and beside Him there is none other. And if you're here and you're not saved, don't go after your own device in your own way, but trust in the One that does all things well. He's the potter. We're the clay. We sing that song that refers that way, that He is the potter and we are the clay. And we say in that song, "Mold me and make me after thy will, while I'm waiting, yielded and still." To yield to Him, to rest in Him, to trust in Him. He does do what He wants to with the clay. But He deals with us as He has made us. And even, remember how far down, remember David was up there and then the divided kingdom after Solomon. And then how that was, how there was not one good king in Israel. And then now it's to this terrible time at the end in Judah. And you know what? The Lord still gives hope. He still gives hope. But He's the potter and we are the clay.